The fear of embarrassment goes right up there with fear of failure as some of the fears that are the most destructive in our life. And what they do have in common is that it boils down to the feeling of shame as children. So, since we know this already, why is it that shaming is still a management tool that we use to discipline our children? That's what we're going to talk about today. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CBO of Being Connected. I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years' experience in the field. I work with parents and teachers to navigate the realities of what parenting is today. But don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So we're going to have to put the ego and pride aside. And let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, please like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. I do appreciate your support with the work that I do. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there to help with your child's self-esteem and confidence, which is very helpful for the topic we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to leave the link in the description so you can have a look at that as well. I highly recommend it. There's so much content there that is worth having a look. And we're going to jump right in a really tough subject today. And it is tough because when I do talk about putting our pride and ego aside, this is definitely one of the toughest things to work with when I'm working with parents or even teachers and educators, is to let go of that. I'm the one who's in charge. I'm the adult. I know best. And just completely disregarding the pain that you had to endure growing up, and now you're passing that on to a child. So I'm all about, of course, breaking patterns and cycles. We need to break that up because it's clearly not working. And I've been having some interesting conversations lately, starting with comments from certain generations that want to lash out at what I'm talking about because people like me apparently are the reason why our society is falling apart, that we're too soft on the children. And so I do have open up these conversations, and I love having these conversations because they often forget that I'm part of their generation. I'm a Gen Xer, but I'm kind of on the cusp with the boomers. So yeah, let's open up that conversation, please, because they're always saying that the way that they were raised and the way that they raise their children is the best way. But they seem to forget that the generation that they're disrespecting right now is the generation that they raised. So yeah, let's have that conversation, please, shall we? So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm not being disrespectful. I understand your point of view, but you need to open it up. That is a clear sign that you've gone through a lot of pain growing up. And it's difficult for you to get past that. So please, let's end it with us so that our children don't have to clean up our messes anymore. And that leads us right into shame, a huge, huge tool that is used to control children, because that's really all it is. It has nothing to do with discipline. It's just to make the adults feel better, to give them a sense of superiority. So for those who don't understand, I will talk before we go into what shame is and the fear of embarrassment that it leads to. I am going to talk about what shame is, what it boils down to as a child, as adults will experience shame as well, but our reaction as adults stem from what we've gone through as children, what it does to a child when it's a continuous thing, when it's a routine thing. We're going to talk about the results and how that leads to the fear of embarrassment. What happens? What does that create as an adult later on, in terms of mental health and personality traits? What shaming could look like in a child, because children will not flat out say, "I'm ashamed" or "I'm embarrassed." Those are really big emotions, so they will not know how to explain it. So it'll come up physically, non-verbally. And through their actions is where you're going to know that your child is suffering from shame. repetitive shaming. And then, of course, true to myself, we're going to go into what can we do to break that pattern? How can we fix that? How can we remedy that? Right? Restitution on this. So that's what this episode is going to be about. And of course, I always, always am open to comments and conversation openers. If you want more information, if you want to share your views on this, we need to have these conversations, whether you want to go in a negative way or a positive way. I'm okay with it. But let's fix this, right? And we'll heal ourselves in the process. So it's a win-win if we open up that dialogue. If you're going to open up that dialogue, be ready to talk, though. You know, don't just throw your comments and then hide behind your keyboard. We're going to talk. So let's jump right in. Shame. What is shame? A lot of people don't really understand what shame is, but shame is really a feeling of embarrassment or humiliation that children and adults will experience in response to the perception of having done something wrong. So shame is really just a feeling embarrassed or humiliated at the fact that they may have done something wrong. And when it comes to children, a lot of the times they haven't done anything wrong. We just blame them for it and will humiliate them for it. So that's what it is. So to break it down, you can really break down to how a child perceives shame, how they experience shame. You, instead of that long definition, you break it down into three words. And those words are, I am bad. When you are using shame as a management tool to control your child's behavior in the quest of making them a better person, to toughen them up for the world, you are teaching your child continuously that they are bad, they are worthless. This is what your child, it might not be your intention, I'm not attacking anybody here. This is how we were raised, right? This is a generational thing, but just know that that is what you're doing to your child by supposedly making it better for them to have a better life. You are drilling it into them that I am bad. That's all it comes down to. So knowing this, why are we still using it as a management tool to discipline our children, to control our children, to raise our children? Because this is something that we use continuously. Now I'm going to go into details as to what that looks like, because when I tell you that, we may not even be aware that that's what we're doing. It's important. Ignorance is not bliss. It's not the best thing. You need to know that you're actually destroying your child's self, and it's not something that you want to continue and carry on through to the next generation. As I mentioned earlier, shame is a huge emotion. It's a very big emotion, even for adults. So children are not able to process this. They haven't learned how to deal with and how to process their emotions. So to start off with such a heavy, heavy emotion, we're setting them up for failures and so many other aspects of their lives, or for dealing with other emotions as well. Long-term, again, it can lead to, like I said, lashing out. Kind of hurt people before they get hurt type of thing. It will lead to lying. People, kids are afraid to be embarrassed. They're afraid to be ashamed. So they will lie. So we're teaching them how to lie. They will be destroying evidence. We're teaching them to be criminals, basically. And I've seen this working in school settings where children don't eat as much as their parents would want to. And then they get embarrassed and they get shamed at home for not eating. They get, that's more than shame, but they feel horrible. So the next day when they come to school, they're still not going to eat, but they now have learned that they just need to throw their food out before they come home. That's what you've taught your child. So we got to open up here and really see the damage that we are doing to our children. It's worse. The symptoms or the long-term effects are even worse when it's innocent children that are being shamed. So sometimes adults will lash out at their children. When I was saying that reflex to lash out before you become embarrassed, you will lash out at your own child. and blame them for things that they are not responsible for, or because you're afraid that you will be viewed, you will be shamed or embarrassed by your child's behavior, you will actually accuse them of things that they haven't done. But because you're ashamed as a parent, you don't want people to think that you're a bad parent, you will react before asking them what really happened in the situation. A lot of the time, some children get blamed for things that were done that they didn't do at all. They were just there. And the parents lash out at them because the parents are too worried that they will be seen as bad parents. And this goes also for children that may have different abilities, neurodivergent children. They process things differently, they behave differently because they were provoked or triggered by the people around them. And now they're being shamed for things that other people have done. So again, that has a really harsh impact on them. It's even worse on them later down the road. So what are the results? What happens? Well, as we can clearly see, they will definitely have an impact on their self-esteem. It's going to crush and destroy their self-esteem. It's going to destroy and crush their self-worth. And it does have an impact on a sense of self as well. So now we're destroying their own self, their identity. They will not know. They know deep down that they're not bad, but everybody else around them are telling them that they are bad. So now they're thinking, what's wrong with me? I think I'm good, but everybody tells me I'm bad. So there's something wrong with me. And we're going to go later on the psychological impact of that, where you're disrupting the sense of self. So what are the symptoms? Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the children, it's a huge emotion. They're not able to process that. They don't even have the words to explain it. So it will come out non-verbally. Pay attention. It doesn't mean that if they have those symptoms that they are ashamed or embarrassed, but a lot of the times it will. There are other factors. You start looking at your behaviors and the other adults around them and the older children around them to see what is behind those behaviors. So of course, a lot of the times they'll have their head down. They're ashamed, right? Low self-esteem, low self-worth. I'm not good, I'm bad. So the head goes down. You can't be sitting up here going, I am bad. Some people do, but not children. So head down, avoiding eye contact, again, goes with the head down. But again, you need to be careful. It could have something to do culturally as well, where children make eye contact with adults can be a sign of disrespect. Again, you should be looking into that because it is a form of shaming your child, saying that I'm superior and you're worthless. So how dare you look at me? That's how they're going to process it. So already you're teaching your children that they are bad. They could be sensitive to responses. So those are the children that will get very emotional when things get a little hectic around them, whether it's good or bad. So those are the ones that will cry when they're happy. They will cry when they're sad. They will cry when noise goes up, even if it's not directed at them. If they have to explain themselves, tell me what happened, and they start crying, even though they haven't done anything wrong, that those are definite signs of chronic shame. And later on, it'll be, you know, they will not get involved. They will not want to participate in anything. They will not want to go anywhere because they're afraid of making mistakes. So they will not take initiative, and then they get shamed for that because, come on now, you should be doing things on your own. You're not a baby, but they kind of froze. Their survival brain kicks in because they don't feel safe, and they just can't process anything, and they can't move. Later on, this leads to even bigger issues with anxiety and depression. And it will lead to paranoia. This is what I meant earlier when we're destroying the sense of self. This child gets split. There's a fracture there. And they don't know who they are. Am I good? Am I bad? Am I good? Am I bad? And now they keep hearing, and we're going to talk about this sometimes, you already hear the comments that are going to be said about you. And so the paranoia kicks in. And it can create some serious long-term effects on your child. For the fear of embarrassment, like I said in the introduction, this is a huge, huge fear that's actually paralyzing for most people. It's what stops people from living their life to the fullest. And it really is just because they have that fear of being shamed, that childhood trauma that kept repeating, I am bad, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I don't know good from bad, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm doing something wrong. So that kind of thing triggers the adult where they will not want to make any effort. They will not want to get out of their comfort zone because they're afraid to fail. They're afraid to make a mistake, and they're afraid to be embarrassed by it. So they will not take initiative. They will be kind of pushover. There will be the people that will keep ruminating over past events. They will keep living in the past saying, if I would have done it this way, this happened the last time, so I'm not going to do this. So they're constantly ruminating to see where things have gone wrong and what could they have done to prevent that from happening. They will avoid questions because they're afraid to make mistakes to the point where they are not able to answer a direct question and give a direct answer because, again, they're afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing and be shamed for it or humiliated for it. And this leads in terms of the lifelong results is they will flat out avoid situations like relationships, love, jobs, success. They will, even though they know that they can do the job, even though that the person that they're in love with is the right person for them, they will flat out turn their back to it or not initiate anything because they're afraid that it's going to go bad. They're afraid that they're going to get embarrassed. They're afraid to be vulnerable to somebody or to take chances because they don't want to suffer those consequences and make things worse. So it has a huge impact. And this is something that most of us are going through now, as adults. Those are certain things that we need to address as adults to help us move on in our healing process. And so we know that it's true because we are living it. Our parents are living it. They're denying it, but they are living it as well. So there's definitely some work to be done there, and we can help our children get through, or at least to break that pattern with our children so that they don't carry it on to the next generation. So what does shaming look like? Right. Like I said, some of us are not even aware that we're shaming children. We're just acting the way that we've seen adults act, or maybe that people are acting around us. And it just comes out. We're not really paying attention to what we're doing because it's second nature to us. But it is shaming. So what does that look like? There's quite a bit. I'm going to just give you a few because those are the most common one. But of course, your words have a huge impact on your children. So making your child at any time that you make your child feel bad for something that they did, that's shaming. No matter whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, making them feel bad about what they did. So when I say even if it's a good thing, they may have tried to help you clean up the kitchen, but they broke some dishes because they're young. It happens, and you get mad at them for doing that. Or they wiped the counter, but the cloth was dirty, and so they smeared dirt on the counter, and now they're angry at them for making a bigger mess. They were trying to help. They were doing something good. But the way you handle it is going to shame them. So, like I said, words are worse than weapons, and they do some permanent damage on your children. So when you're looking at, when you're asking a child, what's wrong with you? That is, you might as well just stab them repeatedly in the chest because that'll do the same thing. What's wrong with you? We hear that often. And those are very hurtful words for a child. It's an instant shame. If a child was sick from school, let's say, and was sick at home or couldn't go to an event, and then when they come back, if people are like, oh, now, you couldn't be bothered to be, you're too good for us. You couldn't be here as a joke. Children don't take that as a joke. So that they'll think that they're acting in a way that is shameful. That's one way of doing it. For children that may have had, we hear that at school a lot and say, well, are we going to have a good day today? Or are you going to be good today? When you send your kid off to school, you're you mean well by saying, hey, we're gonna have a good day today. They had if they're known to have behaviors at school to say, we're gonna be good today, but we're actually shaming them. They know that they haven't been, they've had some issues at school. So the fact that you're constantly bringing it up makes it worse for them. So, are you gonna be good today? Are we gonna have a good day today? That kind of thing. Our body language speaks a lot for them as well. When we keep bringing up past mistakes, so maybe they have broken a cup once. We've all broken dishes before. But they break a cup once, and now every time they're about to touch the dishes, you're like, no, don't, because you break them. You're gonna break them. Or no, don't do that. You're gonna break that. You're gonna do this. You're gonna hurt them. Because they only did it the one time they had to learn, and now you're belittling them with it, laughing and mocking at their reactions or their feelings of someone got scared, or a child got scared and they started crying, and now you're laughing at them for crying, that kind of thing. That's shameful. It's very, they're expressing feelings that they can't understand yet, and now you're shaming them. So it's just a double whammy on that one. The one of the worst, and I think that's that borderlines abuse in this, the people that will record their children acting out and then show everybody, look how silly they look at the big baby, look at how some people will even post it on social media. That, I'm sorry, but that is abuse. So please be mindful of what you're doing. You think it's funny. As parents, we like to share anecdotes about how rough we can have it sometimes, but just think of the long-term impact you're creating for your child as well. So let's tone that down a little bit. Comparing your child to others, look at your little brother. He's not crying. Stop being a baby. That kind of stuff. That's, again, I don't need to explain further than that. Or telling them, guys, why do I even bother? You're going to do it anyway. That kind of thing. We, even as adults, we react to that. So imagine a child that doesn't understand what's going on, or that it may not even understand that they've done something wrong. Having unrealistic expectations for them. Again, so if you have a 2-year-old and you're expecting them to cut paper perfectly, that's unrealistic. Their muscles and their bones are not even developed yet. Their bones haven't fused, their hand is still loose, and their muscles are not developed. So that's unrealistic developmentally. On the development level, physically, they're not capable of doing it. So we shouldn't be shaming them about it and say, well, what's wrong with you? You can't hold scissors. But that's just an example. This is amplified for children that would have different needs, right? That have additional challenges in their development. This amplifies even more. So that's what shaming would look like. They're a little extreme. There's some that are very subtle, but you get the idea here of how our everyday comments will affect a child, impact a child, and it will also impact the children that hear it as well. Because now they're going to be afraid to get that treatment from the adults. And they get nervous and anxious as well. So keep an eye on that. I've seen it a lot in schools without noticing. The teachers are not doing it on purpose. It's just a reaction. They've been saying it for decades. And they're still saying things to their children where it makes me cringe every time. I'm like, oh man, come on. Really, this is how we're going to start the day today? What happened to, hi, how you doing? I'm glad to see you. Instead of, what kind of day are we going to have today? So let's just tone it down a little bit for our kiddos, please. So how do we change that? My goodness, can we change that, please? Of course, we got to bring in empathy, which is where adults seem to have a really hard time with. Well, this is how I was raised. This is how it was for me. So yeah, so this is how you want it to be for your kids, really? When I was talking about the generations earlier, let's be real here. The conversations that I've had recently was our way was best. We knew what was right, we knew what was wrong, and it's like, yeah, but look at what you're doing now. The generation that they are disrespecting is the generation they're raised. So please, yes, do tell me how about your parenting style so we can stop it there, right? Nobody will take accountability for the fact that their amazing parenting style created those new generations. So let's not get too cocky about it, please. Empathy. Explain to the child. We were talking about children who don't know how to behave socially, who still need to work on their development, and we're the ones who are the role models for them. So let's just say, I understand you wanted to help me, and I really appreciate this. Next time, can we, check the take a new cloth, or ask for help next time. I really appreciate you trying, that kind of thing. Here, let me show you how we could do it so it doesn't happen next time. Very simple, but just say, I understand. We need to learn something. Let's learn it together. It doesn't have to be confrontational. When I was saying that words are the worst weapon that you can have, and this is true. Once you say it, you can't take it back. So there's this thing that we use often to help parents and teachers remember is you speak once, think twice. Speak once, think twice. So think twice before you say what you're about to say. Say, okay, what is that going to look like for the child? Because again, once those words come out of your mouth, you can't take them back. And you just shot that child for life. So speak once, think twice. Just think about it before you're about to throw a backhanded comment or to be sarcastic or to react to the child's behavior. Think twice and then speak. It will help a lot. Try to understand or show that you're trying to understand. A child's behavior is an iceberg. So the behavior that you saw that bothered you is the tip of the iceberg. You didn't see everything that's under the water. So what provoked it? Were there other factors at play? Were there other people at play? What is going on that created this behavior, right? So try to understand where that came from, what we see or the reason why we think the child acted up. I can tell you from experience, hardly ever the reason that we think. There's something else hidden behind that. So with the empathy, you can kind of calm the child down and then start asking questions to see what really happened. What really happened? Don't put words in their mouth, but give them the time to explain so you can see what really triggered it, because they might not be the reason why this behavior happened. And they're not bad. They're not bad children. So understand the behavior. Think of it as an iceberg. Okay, I just saw the tip of the iceberg. What's hiding underneath the water now? And figure it out. It does require time. Once you get into the habit of it, it becomes a lot easier. And once your child starts trusting you again and feels safe around you, that they're not going to be shamed anymore, they're not going to be embarrassed anymore, then they will open up more. So just know that if your child doesn't want to tell you, it's because they don't feel safe to tell you. There's, again, ego and pride. There's some work there that you need to do. Make sure that your child feels safe to tell you. And don't forget also that every child is unique. We are all unique. So the way that they react to a certain thing will not be the way you react to certain things or that the other children react to. And that's perfectly normal and that's perfectly respectable. So don't compare. Every child is different. Everybody develops at a different rate. So the what you expect of those children may not be realistic. So just remember, everybody's unique, everybody will react differently, and everybody will take a message differently. That's why, again, think twice, speak once is what I'm saying. You don't need to second guess yourself all the time, because that just creates other issues. But just think, okay, is this coming off negative or positive? And let's try to switch it to a positive thing. It's not easy, but we still will make mistakes. It's an instinct to us, because that's all we've known. So it's perfectly normal. But just remember that there's a huge impact. Just remember that most of the issues that you have as an adult stems down to shame as a child. And yes, it builds character, but at what cost? We can build character in a positive way as well. So let's work on that. Like I said, it ends with us so that our children can work on something else. They don't have to carry it through or fix it for us. Let's fix our mess and work from there. And so this is what I have for you. And please, I am serious when I say let's keep the conversation open. We do need to talk about this. Everybody needs to open up. things that we were not allowed to talk about when we were younger. But we need to also stop the blame game. Let's take accountability for our actions. Who cares where this stems from? But the only thing that should matter is, are you still doing it? And why are you still doing it? So let's work on that. If you need any other information, please contact me. I am a real person, and that's what I do for a living. So I will help. I can give you some resources. And if you want me to go into more details for specific things, let me know as well. I can do Q&As. I can do lives. So many things that I could do to help in the classroom and at home. And of course, check out the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy for more resources on that as well. It's amazing, amazing stuff down there as well. So don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.